This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 3. Today's topic, 6 key methods of dealing with frustrating people in your everyday life.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast. This is the show where we help fellow millennials find their true groove in life doing something that matters not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. Every Thursday, we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion and not listening to the noise of the world. Your hosts are JC Preston, that's me. I'm the Indie Fizzle Meetup host here in town. John Ridge is the double major guy, and Brian Whitaker is actually a huge fan of Indiana Jones, as am I. In this episode, we're going to talk about how to deal with frustrating people in your life. More specifically, we'll be talking about why it's important to focus on the issue and not the other person, how you should evaluate yourself and others to properly address the frustration, and why you shouldn't take what other people think of you seriously. This is the podcast's second topic podcast. Every once in a while, we'll be doing one of these based on questions from you guys. If you have a question or topic that you'd like us to answer or discuss, you can send it to heyguys@newinceptions.com. You never know, we might just put it in a future podcast. So enjoy, and for the show notes, you can go to newinceptions.com/session3. And, of course, I'll be back after the conversation to fill in anything we might have missed. I'm JC, and again today with me is Brian and John. And, you know, one of the things that we wanted to talk with you all today about is actually working with frustrating people. And, you know, that's something that comes across quite a bit. You know, when I was in grad school, or not necessarily grad school, but just actually as an adjunct, I was asked this question quite a bit. And, you know, people have crazy amounts of drama in their life. And a lot of times it's coming from external sources. And most of the time it's from people who are just driving them up a wall. And so today we're going to be talking about 6 key methods of dealing with frustrating people and your everyday life. And I think for me, these 6 tactics, I guess you could say, are definitely some keys that'll help you get moving, possibly with them, possibly without them in your life. But I think it'll definitely help with that. So anyway, moving on here, let's get down to the nitty gritty. So the first one that I want to talk about is focusing on the issue and not necessarily the person. And what I mean by that is, you know, you can say, I feel frustrated when you promise to do something, but there's no follow through. You're not resorting to threats or insults on the person. But, you know, you're saying this in an even non-blaming tone, and you're leading with how their behavior makes you feel rather than how you think the other person is just wrong on everything. So
exactly. And on that point, JC, you know, I feel like a lot of times people waste a lot of unnecessary time and energy dealing with the fact that someone disagreed with them, and that through that process and that waste of energy, we lose sight of the fact that, you know, there's a bigger issue at hand. And I think that if we went back to what you said and just focus on the issue, While putting all of our own personal biases aside, I feel like we'd be more productive as a whole.
So, right.
That's my 2 cents on the issue.
You know, I think there's a lot of finger pointing that a lot of people just kind of, they won't even focus so much on trying to even resolve the issue, but they'll just point fingers at each other and it'll be like, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. How does that, you know, that's not really helping anything. So, you know, I think it's focus on the problem, be like, you know, sit down and be, and there's some tactics on how you can do that. But that was just one. So, Brian, anything?
Yeah, I think you guys are both right on. A lot of times issues can go on for days, weeks, or, you know, months, or you know, even years. Like, just if you're just focusing on like why you don't get along with a person, or, you know, if it's not about the issue and resolving the issue itself, then, you know, where does it end? The bottom line is, if there's a frustration, then, you know, if you focus on the issue, maybe you can solve the frustration, I think.
Right. And hopefully not get too passive aggressive about it either.
Right. Right. Yeah. So if you don't focus on the issue, and I think maybe the second half of that is address the issue, right? Not just point fingers and try to address the person, address the issue.
Right. Cool. Okay. The next one we got is, okay, so if you're already focused on the issue and you guys are maybe still coming off to a stand and it's still not progressing any, the next step from there could, you know, evaluate yourself, you know, evaluate why is the person bothering you? Why is their stance bothering you? You know, is this situation being a challenge? Could it be personal growth? Is it something that once you get over, you'll be able to, you know, see things in a better light? Or, you know, it's just, I think that it's like, okay, if we can't see where we're currently seeing each other eye to eye, then someone's going to have to give a little bit, and you start with yourself first and not necessarily go to them.
Oh, exactly. And I think it's important that along that journey that we allow ourselves to be challenged, because we've all heard it time and time again that growth and development is often uncomfortable. And I believe that allowing yourself to be challenged and allowing the viewpoints of others to really, for lack of a better term, resonate within yourselves, I believe it will give you maybe a perspective that you hadn't expected or that you didn't originally think about. And in the end, enable you to move past your difference and move along with whatever project it is you're working on.
Right. I mean, yeah. And on that, you know, frustrating people, frustrating challenges are just a reality of life. Like they're always going to come up. You can't really avoid them. If you plan on, you know, being out with the world at all. So maybe a frustration, you could turn it on its head and on this point, like, evaluate yourself. Is there a way that you can grow from this? And like, is this frustration your issue, or is it, you know, is it their issue, or is it like a problem with the system? Like, it's an opportunity for you to grow and
down
maybe,
with the man.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's going on here? Can you, if it's an issue with yourself, then yeah, it's an awesome opportunity to grow and prepare yourself for future frustrations.
And off of that, you know, I've learned that 9 times out of 10, if something bothers me or affects me negatively, I've learned that it tends to point to something that I need to work on within myself. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I understand that's not always the case, but more times than not, it's something within me that causes that to flip the trigger or rub me the wrong way. And oftentimes, if I could just deal with that, the problem tends to resolve itself. I mean, I don't know what your guys' experiences tend to tell, but
yeah, for me, it usually comes back to my own baggage. I mean, it's not like a huge thing most of the time, but maybe it could be, you know, maybe it was a long time ago, somebody ticked me off about this same thing and it's just a sore subject. So yeah, it's a lot of times for me, it's my own, issue or opportunity where I can just take a different perspective maybe.
Right. Well, and what, you know, we were talking about the fact is that, you know, look at it in a positive light, and if you can change your perspective on it enough that you're like, oh, I see where they're coming from, you know, then hopefully it might be able to slide. If it doesn't, then you start looking at, okay, I see where they're coming from. I see why they're saying the things that it, but it, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's right. And so that's when you start talking about, you know, okay, I know I'm right. I know I'm, and I know they're, you know, for you, Brian, I would imagine that, you know, you have clients and with software, for example, software is huge in this, and that you're like developing something. And all of a sudden they're like, well, can you add this? Can you add that? Can you add this? And it's like, okay, we had this discovery session. We had this initial session and we wanted to, this is the minimum that we're going to be coming up with. I can't keep adding stuff. Otherwise you're never going to get the thing done with. And so one of the things that I think that you got to do is that you got to be able to evaluate them fairly and know that other people have their own perspectives and their different personalities. And when you understand how personalities work, like, for example, that kind of person was probably going to be an expressive that's always coming up with new ideas and being like, oh, this would be cool to be able to do this. And this would be cool to be able to do that. And, you know, you got to maybe set some parameters as you're going down that path a little bit, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would just say that it on this whole thing of dealing with frustrating people, it's not like you have to you evaluate others just like you're saying. You know, like everyone has their own perspective, and depending on their personality, they may put ideas forth that you don't agree with, and maybe frustrate you or whatnot. But this whole thing of dealing with them doesn't necessarily mean that you have to agree with them, and you actually have to like sacrifice your own or the right way to be, or you know, sacrifice yourself to please them. That's the really, I don't think that's a good way to advocate this either. Like, you know, diffusing a situation is different from catering to exactly what they want without considering, you know, what really is best for, let's say, a project or for you even, you know. So like, even if you, it's funny, I just had this talk with my dad last night. You know, when you get older, you tend to listen to what people say. And
I always thought that when you got older, you didn't listen to
what people that's said. The second half is you'll listen to them. You'll listen to them, but then you might consider what they say, but or you may not. You may say, okay, well, I understand your perspective, but we're still going to do it my way.
Right.
And, you know, you may have the reason may be whatever. I think that when we start off, we're very much trying to either please people or diffuse negative situations or tense situations. And doesn't always result in the best, or doesn't always produce the best result. So understanding and evaluating others, like, just taking their perspective into consideration is helpful, because a lot of times you don't know everything.
Right.
And maybe you miss something, but.
So it all comes back to humility is what you're saying, essentially.
Yeah, to some degree. I mean, you got to have humility, but at the same time, you got to weigh the value of the right decision versus being walked on. Like, you know.
One of the things that I actually just released a post that was talking about positive and negative thinking. And, you know, a lot of the time you run into so many people that are so negative, right? And that frustrating people not necessarily are negative. They're just different, right? And maybe their world works differently. But going into what you're saying there, one of the things that personally for me was that I kind of started life, especially going into college, as being kind of a negative thinker, just kind of always looking what was wrong with things. And I think that for me, it was the way I was brought up. And then significant, and people can read about this on the post, but significant turning point in my life happened. And then I started getting around people that were, you know, had always read self-help books and listened to, you know, all the different experts that are out there and all those things. And one of the, that those people will say, that world will tell you, is like, don't think in the negative at all. Always think in the positive. Okay, well, that's fine. But, and I think this is kind of paralleling what you said about as you're getting older, you can think in the positive, but you got to be a realist. You know, you got to be, okay, this is the actual situation. I can have a positive outcome from it, but I have to look at the problem first and hope, you know, actually help it do something versus wish it were better and not do something.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think there's always a time and place for critical thinking. Now, I understand you can't be like that all the time, but, you know, some of the best problem solvers I know personally are critical thinkers by nature. And, you know, I feel like a lot of times the pendulum tends to be swung in extremes from one direction to the other. And there's always that fine balance that needs to be reached.
Right. The thing is really that, you know, this is going on to the next method of dealing with frustrating people, is that whether or not you feel like you're in the wrong or they're in the wrong or whatever, you have to be the one that's focusing on you and not on them. I mean, seriously, do not be a narcissist. Do not try to manipulate them to do things. Again, don't try to be passive aggressive. I mean, you can only control yourself. And I mean, that's where I'm coming from on this. You can only deal with your own stuff.
Absolutely. You know, off of that, I feel like the way that you address someone and even handle yourself plays a huge role in the outcome of the situation. And one thing that I was once told by an older professional was that humility is, let me see if I can get this right. Humility is learned and developed over time, as long as you have a passion for enriching the lives of others. Now, I'm paraphrasing that, but that was the gist of it. And I believe that off of that, humility is contagious. And if they see you approaching it with an open mind, you know, with maybe a gracious attitude, for lack of a better term, I feel like that in turn will bring about a positive result, more so than, like you said, being a narcissist and trying to, you know, coerce someone into being someone that they're not.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. When this comes up for me, like focusing on what I can control and not on trying to control someone else or necessarily control an entire situation, I kind of think about it in like the long-term perspective. So if like a coworker or if maybe a friend is maybe being passive aggressive, or you know, they've got something else like going on with some problem that's just out of your control and it's affecting your relationship between each other, or maybe it's affecting your boss has something going on and it's just affecting your job, and you know, you can't really control that. All you can do is show up with your own positive attitude and not try to be the like the Superman sort of the company, or like try to rescue a friendship if the person isn't ready to be rescued or helped. You know, like you only, you know, you can only be yourself, and you have control over that, but not control over how other people act towards you or how other people try to solve a problem. So it's just it's actually kind of empowering. It's not necessarily narcissistic, but it's empowering to know that you know, other people don't have power over you, because you can show up, you can be arrive at, you know, a situation positively, or take a different approach, at least within yourself, to try to come up with a new solution, maybe. And so it's kind of, yeah, it's like focusing on what you can control can not only be humbling, but it can also be like an empowering mindset that you are separate of the situation. So focus on yourself, you know, you can make more of it.
Let me just kind of put a little bit of a story out that I've recently heard about. So say if someone is at the workplace, right? And it's a new job that, you know, maybe they are still acting in who they are, and they're generally a go-getter type person, but the job that they're having to take at the time might not necessarily be what fits their personality. And so it's kind of a alien world to them. And in fact, the predominant not lifestyle, but just general atmosphere is kind of negative, kind of drudgery, kind of like, you know, think of production and or a factory or something like that. Something that people do the same thing over and over and over and over. And the person that's going there, again, doing so because they want to pay their bills, and you know, that's where they find themselves at. They weren't able to get a job right out of college or whatever the situation is. And so anyway, they go in there, they're like, okay, I'm going to kick butt at this new position, and maybe I can work up, you know, it's a good company. Maybe they can go through the production way and work their way up to a higher level. Well, anyway, as they're there the first couple of months or so, you know, they start interacting with these people, and, you know, they're negative, they're annoying, they're in different ways, and anyway, case in point, let's say you're working, or this person is working right by this other one, and for whatever reason, the person that's been there the longest is kind of giving rude remarks or whatever, and it happens and more and more, and then, you know, what started off as one person or the new person, like kind of going out of their way to be nice, that person now has the opportunity or feels like they have the opportunity to start being kind of part of that atmosphere. No longer trying to improve it, no longer trying to be in their own bubble, but they're being acted upon. And so I guess my question is, now that I've kind of built the context there, how do you help that person that has gotten themselves into that situation? It doesn't even have to be production. Maybe it's, you know, again, something, some job that they shouldn't have gotten into because this just doesn't fit their personality. What do you tell them?
So my first thought is, ask them about how they got to where they're at now. You know, like if it's not a pleasant place or they don't seem to fit where they're at, maybe it starts with, how did you get there? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? And, you know, if you could change something, what would you change? And maybe that sort of thing, just like talk to them about like their true desires. Sometimes life just tends to put us in a place, and it's not necessarily a matter of choice as much as it is a matter of situation.
And so basically what I'm trying to get to is the next point is don't take the opinions of other people personally. I mean, be yourself. Going back to the fourth point, focus on what you can control, but at the same time, don't let the hostility of your workplace, don't let the hostility possibly of your home life affect who you're trying to become or who you are. What you need to do is regularly plug into people or groups or whatever that back you up as you become the new you, become the new person. And if you don't have that available, I mean, obviously we're here to help you with that.
Yeah, so kind of see yourself in like a positive light, sort of. When I guess I kind of imagine this point, like the not taking the opinions of others personally. This was a big issue of mine, and is still a little bit. So it's not like I've sort of, I'm some guru or master of all this stuff, but like I had a huge issue for many years, like taking the opinions of others too personally, like especially those in authority over me. Like if it was a coach of mine, like a sports coach, or even a teammate, but like my boss or just someone in charge, like I would really internalize like everything they said to me, good or bad. I didn't necessarily have a good support system or other people to help me think positive or allow the opinions of others to not, you know, kind of get me back in that mindset of not taking other people's opinions so seriously, for the most part, like, or so personally. And yeah, that was a big, it was hard for me for many years. And
because what you're saying is it was kind of the norm.
Yeah, yeah. It was just like who I was. It's how I, you know, I guess I grew up very focused on sports and achieving and in sports and in school. But I really looked up to the opinion of my teachers or my coaches. And so like when they would praise me, that'd be awesome. That'd be a huge achievement for me. But when they would correct me on something I did wrong, it was like end of the world that day. Seriously, if I would like make a mistake in a game, if I would like let the other team score a point or something like that, like something really, you know, now it's like what, 15 years later, I'm like, that's ridiculous for me to get so upset. But it was seriously like the worst thing that had happened to me like that month. I was very critical of myself. And like when other people would reinforce those criticisms that I already had of myself, I would just take it really personally. So it's, yeah.
Well, and I was, you know, to an extent, again, as I was saying with that past post that I just made, you know, I lived in a world of negativity myself. You know, I was just, mine stemmed more from being bullied, so therefore I was going to bully others because that's how I was going to deal with things. And you know, when you kind of come from a world that's either you're going to be the one picked on or you're going to be the one that's going to be picking on others, then that's, you know, that's kind of a survival method, I think.
Yeah, yeah, and it kind of. Think the same way with like the, for me, if I talk about it in terms of sports, it's like win or lose, right? Like every tiny thing is win or lose. Like every tiny thing is survival or not.
Yeah. And then you got John here did some motocross and he's like, you lose all the time unless you get first. So yeah, it's pretty negative.
Something like that, right? There's always room for improvement. But you know, honestly, JC, what you were talking about earlier is, you know, plugging into a group. I feel like oftentimes one thing that's really overlooked is the power of our associations. And I think plugging into a support system that really fortifies and builds you up and encourages you and helps you get from where you are to where you want to be is vital to, especially being a successful entrepreneur. And there's a piece of advice that's really stuck with me for as long as I can remember. And it was given to me by my dad. And he always told me that if your friends aren't going where you're going, they can't help you get there. And now I'm not saying you cut ties with everyone that's not going where you're going, but I feel like it's important to really build yourself a network and a support system of friends and like-minded people that, you know, have the drive to get out of their comfort zones and make a future happen for themselves that might have otherwise not have been there. I feel like that is huge in and of itself. I mean, what do you guys think?
Oh yeah, no, I mean, and that's just the thing is that, what is it? Who says the person that you're the Jim Rohn says that, you are the average of the 5 or 10 people you hang out the most with.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, that's totally true. And, you know, I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, and I would say probably most, especially when you're first getting going, is that you need, you know, you need that support group. You need that mastermind. And frankly, you need, as you're going down the road, you need to continue to find people that you're not necessarily the smartest person, people that stretch you in a good way to get away from your norm. So maybe if you are in a, you know, you are this good, awesome rock star entrepreneur and you've had a mastermind, don't be afraid to get into another one where you're now the freshman. Because I think that's going to add, I guess I'm kind of going away a little bit from what you said, is that, you know, you need that support group, but you also, you need that support group to not only be there for you, but do you need them there to stretch you, to make you a different person. And as you're gaining success in whatever it is that you're doing, you know, go find meetups, go find other groups that have interest in what it is that you're interested in. And, you know, maybe you'll find people there. Hopefully you'll find people there that have had more success or have dealt with that particular topic longer than you have.
Yeah, I think that even whether their skill level is higher than you or not on any given sort of issue or topic or whatever, even connecting with them so that you're not taking on entrepreneurship alone. Because as an entrepreneur, you think, oh, well, that's me going off to start my own business, right? It's very like individual focused. Like it's my own business. It's, I'm not going to have a boss. I'm going to be, running everything sort of, and maybe. So, so like, you know, in a way you're that sort of mindset, unless you couple that with, working with other people like you or other entrepreneurs, who have different skills than you. It's very like lonely, very, you distance yourself from other people. And that's when you're lost again. Like at least from my, I can speak from my own perspective. When I found other people, and began connecting with other people is when, other people who do entrepreneurship, then yeah, it was like a whole new world again. It's like more opportunities, you know, less of the struggle was on my shoulders. At least it seemed like it, you know, when you start your own business or when the world is on your shoulders alone and you're just focused on all the frustrations and the problems, and it's just overwhelming. So to get out and see other people, maybe help somebody else with something you learned or have someone else be able to help you, that's just a great opportunity for personal growth and to just end up with less frustrations, you know.
Whether you were pulled back to neutral from being down the ground all day or being taken up into the air and being shown what could be. So either way. But anyway, moving on here. Last point is that this frustrating person, and we've already kind of talked about this a little bit. If this frustrating person, for whatever reason, continues to be frustrating after you've gone through these 5 previous steps, you know, it's going to be time to move on. Now, I think it was, John, were you talking about the fact that you don't necessarily have to cut ties?
Exactly, okay. Yeah.
And you don't. And in fact, the way that I would go about doing this is just let life run its course. In other words, don't make it a point to try to connect with this person. I mean, it might be good every once in a while to hang out with them or whatever, but if they don't have the same, and this is just negative people in general, but, you know, right now we're looking at frustrating people. Don't spend the time trying to keep that path or that connection, that, that relationship with them going, if it's not suiting you, really. Maybe it's something that you're kind of forced to do, like with a roommate, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go out to social functions with said roommate, or maybe it's, you know, maybe it's unfortunately a family member or something like that. Like, I know some folks in my realm that might have some issues, but, you know, that you handle each situation differently, but don't burn the bridge, is my opinion. So that's my thinking on moving on.
So when I think about moving on, I think that it's, out of all of these, I think there's kind of, if you look at like the progression of like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and now 6, there's a reason that moving on, I think, might be the last part, because moving on can tend to be really difficult, depending on your relationship with the person. And so even though the person might be frustrating, you know, if it's not a coworker, if it's, let's just say, a friend, maybe say it's like a coach or like a boss, like, how do you move on from that? Like, it's maybe more difficult. So maybe moving on means you separate yourself like from the situation. Like with a friend, like you say, oh, well, you know, you don't have to like break up, quote unquote, I would imagine, but you can just not contact them as much or whatever. However you need to move on, and just, but like when you think of it like a job or like a coach or whatever it is, maybe a little bit more difficult and require more choices. So I kind of go back to, if you're at step 6 and like ready to move on, go back to step 1, and are you ready to move on? Like, what does moving on mean logistically? Like, what changes are you going to have to make to move on? And
are you talking like actually having an absolute plan sort of deal and planning that out?
I think it's very situation dependent. Like if your boss is just making, like if your boss is so frustrating, just making you so miserable, or if you're, let's say you're an entrepreneur and your partner is making you so miserable, it's like nothing, everything you say to him, he just fires back at you, and it's just frustrating. You can't get anything done or whatever. Hey, like, you know, like seriously, like what is the logistics of moving on? Is that the right answer? If it is, you know, you evaluate the situation, you evaluate yourself, and you go through this process. And if there's nothing else you can do, then yeah, maybe moving on is the right decision, and it allows you to still be yourself and a positive person and have a, you know, lead a happy life. Moving on is the right decision at that point.
And I think that every time that you even think about going back to hang out with them, that you got to reconsider those 5 things. It's like, have your desires once changed at all since the last time you thought about this? If they haven't, have they changed at all? Because obviously I would imagine that you're probably a still person, so you probably go, or have they made a difference? Have they noticed that, you know, maybe you guys aren't interacting that much and tried to reconnect with you? Maybe. Yeah. But how are they doing it? You know, are they being annoying? Are they trying to be that guy, that random guy on Skype that's like, hey, add me as a friend. I don't know who you are. Go away. But, you know, and then if it's not, if they're not changing, then maybe you are on the right path. And that's a good thing, because who's to say, you know, one of the things that I've heard about enough is that people generally, as you progress towards whatever it is that you're wanting to do, if you have a lot of close friends or if you have a lot of close people, they'll generally not see the same path that you do, and they're not going to jump on that same wagon with you. And really, you're going to have to potentially, well, not potentially, you will be creating a lot more connections as you're going, but hey, you know, I think if the friends and a lot of the relationships that you have at one given time are a reflection of who you were at that given time versus who you're trying to become. And as you're becoming that person, those people dropping by the wayside are a good visual or a good representation of that you're actually becoming that better person. So that's my thinking on that. So today's takeaway, as we're wrapping things up today, you know, difficult people are simply a part of life, specifically frustrating people. At the end of the day, only you can control you. They can't control you. Don't let other people control you. And only you can control how you interact with others. Don't be like, it's their fault that I'm acting this way. No, it's not. No, it's not. You're letting them, you are letting them tell you how to act. Don't let the world program your mind, program your own mind. So
with that being said, with you as a listener, next time you're dealing with someone who may be pushing your buttons or being difficult to deal with, just revert back to one of these six tactics, preferably 1 through 5. And hopefully, you know, as a result, not only will the situation be resolved, but your mood will be enhanced.
So there you have it. Go to newinceptions.com/session3 for the show notes. There you can find all links to topics that we've discussed in the show. I had mentioned a link to a blog post that I did on the site talking about negative and positive thinking. That's an example of something you can find at the show notes. Again, thank you for listening. If you'd like to subscribe for free and make sure you get all of our new shows, you can do so on iTunes and Stitcher. Further instructions on how to do that are in the show notes as well. I want to thank today's sponsors. First up, Fizzle. Fizzle is where aspiring online entrepreneurs, specifically solopreneurs, can go to learn about growing their online business. One thing I listen to all the time is their podcast, which you can get for free. On top of audio, they also have videos and a forum you can access to get tons of useful insight and help. However, those things you'll need to become a subscriber for. But guess what? If you go to newinceptions.com/fizzle, you'll get the first month of your membership for free. And after that, it's $35 a month. Honestly, if you're really determined to start an online business like I was, I'd recommend planning to stay around for a couple months at least. I also want to give thanks to the host of New Inceptions, HostGator.com. It's great having HostGator as a host, and the main reason I say that is because of their customer support. Frankly, I don't have to wait until tomorrow for something to get fixed. On top of that, I have options to chat with someone online or call a real person, and I can do either of those 24/7, 365 days a year. HostGator also has some of the best rates I've seen, too. If you go through newinceptions.com/HostGator, you can get a deal on your hosting price. In fact, I just went through a couple minutes ago, and it was $486 a month to start. Or if you want to bump it up to VPS hosting, that's $1,197, and dedicated hosting starts at $105 a month. So yeah, you really can't find a better deal for everything that they give you. Thank you once again for listening in. We appreciate it. We want you to know that we're here for you and can't wait to have you with us again in the next episode of the Angles of Latitude podcast. If you have a second, please go to iTunes and leave a review for the show. I really, really appreciate it. Cheers, take care, and we'll see you next week. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web @newinceptions.com.